The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
So we're on the line here with Miss Zakiya Wada, the executive chair of the
Mass. Hello, I'm barely hearing you, so I don't know if there's a way you can get it.
Are you hearing me now?
Try again.
Hello, I'm right up there. Everything is right up,
It's very, very soft.
Okay, well then.
I'm trying to see how I can.
I don't want it to be straining your ears. Well, are you able to join the Zoom, miss? I sent you the Zoom link. Is that better for you?
Then they told me that they were going to call instead.
No, we could do the Zoom. I'm going, this is a confusion, man.
Do you want me to join by Zoom?
Yes, miss, join the Zoom. It's much better and you will hear us much more clearly. Okay?
Okay, so then
But you seem to be hearing me now. Are you hearing me now?
Yes, I'm hearing you. If you want to do it, it's not, I'm saying it's soft, but I think I can manage.
Okay, you can manage. Okay, miss. All right. So you're here, so we can manage. So this has to be concerning the meeting I was there yesterday, and I was reading about a disruption. So tell us what really happened yesterday in the consultation.
Okay, so yesterday the committee that is has been set up by the government to review the, you know, our existing monuments, you know, street names, etc., did have a public consultation. I mean, the committee has been functioning for a while. They did private consultations with a large number of organizations, I think 49, they said. But now they opened the consultation to the general public, and we were invited to attend the public consultation. We have had direct communication with the committee, and we also submitted a very extensive document that came out of a civil society committee that was set up by the Emancipation Support Committee and the Caribbean Freedom Project. But of course, being present, we thought it was important that we should also make a public statement at this consultation. And so I proceeded in my capacity as both the chairperson of the Emancipation Support Committee of Trinidad and Tobago and as deputy chair of the National Committee on Reparations to make the point that, you know, Trinidad and Tobago is an independent country for 62 years now and on Saturday, and close to 50 years republic. And therefore, it was time for us to revisit what our physical space looked like and represented, understanding that when the colonial masters or the other countries controlled this space, they would have put in monuments and place names that were of people that were important to them, and whom they wanted to venerate, and whom they thought that, you know, they would like to have surround in their space, whose energy, I suppose you can say.
Mm-hmm.
And I was making the point that Trinidad and we as an independent, now Republican state, really need to revisit how we name our states and who we venerate. You know?
Right, so you believe that...
Of course, Columbus and Tipton and George and Henry and all those places that we have in the city.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a gentleman in the audience who was very upset by the proposal that these names need to change. And he was very adamant about his disagreement and continued to interrupt my presentation with remarks.
Mm-hmm.
So basically that's what happened. I think the audience were very upset with that approach because it's not a matter of everybody, of whether or not we agree with your views. We all have the right in a public consultation to state what our position is.
Of course, yeah.
Yes,
right.
You know, and we have to be respectful of each other's position.
So some of the things he told you was like to go back to Africa.
Yeah, I think that was one of the statements that was made. Yeah. I personally did not hear it because I was trying to continue to make my presentation while he was ranting. But of course, the audience picked it up very clearly. And of course, I think people would have heard it in a number of videos that have been going around.
No, I think that a lot of the things that people are... Because while you would be there representing, of course, the Emancipation Support Committee, is that you would want it to, when you say you want to be replaced and get rid of all the colonial names, all the Columbus, all the this, that, some people talk about Cipriani and all these things.
Losing you again. You've become very soft again.
Okay, sorry. Yeah. When you say you want to be replaced, want everything to be replaced with all the names of the colonial masters, and whether it be Columbus or even Cipriani or whatever, a lot of people just think you want the whole place are Africanized. And when you think about Trinidad and Tobago is not just African people. We have East Indian people, we have Chinese people, we have this, we have that. So that might be the concept of some people.
Yeah, but no, but that was not said. Mm-hmm. And you said that I said that we have to decide as a country who are the people that we venerate, mm-hmm. who are the people that are important to Trinidad and Tobago, and by extension, whose names should be on our streets. And we did have subsequent submissions from other persons in the audience making very specific recommendations of people like, you know, Pat Bishop. People spoke about, we have people like Claudia Jones. We have people, C.L.L. James. We have people, and of course, each group there, First People, they have made their recommendations. We have all the Trinity society. We have our Indian community. We have our Syrian community, our Chinese community. In fact, we have a space in Trinidad that has been submitted to Chinese history on Charlotte Street, and they have been allowed to claim it and present it as a Chinatown, as is done in other spaces. Mm. So I'm saying that the issue is not that it should all be African. Nobody said that. Nowhere was it said. The argument really is now us agreeing that those changes need to be made.
All right. There's an article in the paper here.
We need to have the process of deciding how and where we name which space.
All right. There's an article in the paper here that says that the three ships on our coat of arms symbolized the arrival of Christopher Columbus in TNT in 1498. While acknowledging the complexities and controversies of Columbus's legacy, these ships mark the beginning of the recorded history of our islands. They are a reminder of a pivotal moment that shaped our destiny. The ships represent more than just a historical event. They encapsulate the idea of the arrival, migration, and the blending of diverse cultures that define Trinidad and Tobago. Some people are of the opinion that if you remove the ships, you remove history. Wes, what sing you about that?
Yeah, but I mean, there is so much history. That history is the history of Europeans. That's not our history. We did not arrive here.
No, but it happens.
What that marks for some of us who live here is the genocide of the people who were met here when they came on the ship. Yes? What it marks is, if people are talking about ships, Africans came on ships, but we did not come as willing participants. They came as enslaved people. When our East Indian and Chinese immigrants came, they came as indentured servants. And then they too can describe their own experience as indentured servants. And I do not think for many of them it was this big, bright, happy experience. So we also have to understand, a lot of people do not understand and pretend that they don't link the history to the suffering of a lot of people. Yes, people might say, well, okay, look at where we are now, et cetera. We were left in our own spaces and so on. We would have also developed and grown. But the point is that history that talks about, that also reflects the suffering, the trauma of people who came here through those so-called, as a result of that simulated the actions, because those three ships had landed here, and so all of that is history that is very, people have proven to not be true as we have learned it. But the fact is, this so-called discovery of this space by Europeans was not to our benefit. It provided an opportunity for them to earn income on the backs of other peoples, yes, or peoples who they didn't consider, you know, as good as they are, or considered to be less than they are, and therefore they could have been enslaved and ill-treated, to be forced to work to ensure that their European country became wealthy. That is the history. And we are not in the same time acknowledging those who fought against that to ensure our survival today. We have survived today because we have people who sacrificed their lives, their blood, and their blood, sweat, and tears to ensure that we can still live today. Because we could have all been wiped out if there was no resistance. Or we could have all been, we could have meant being kept into a dehumanized state.
So
enslaved people if there was no resistance, right. there was no fight.
So you are all for this still.
And that part of our history is important too.
Okay.
Because it speaks to our survival.
Mm-hmm. But in the future, when we are teaching our children, I mean, you are for the steel pan to replace the three ships, or you want something else?
No, I think that all of our emblems, monuments, street names needs to be decolonized. And therefore, as one of our more younger activists says, uncolonized, because she's a little uncomfortable with the decolonized word. And therefore, if we are going to remove, because it is not the only symbol of colonization on the coat of arms, is not just the ship. The plumes and crown and all of those things on top of there are also symbols of that and should also be removed.
Okay, so we need a whole new design.
We are hoping in the redesign of the coat of arms looking at doing something that is reflective. Yes, not of our colonial past, but is more reflective of who we are and to what we aspire.
Are you afraid that this might have any backlash with us? Like getting a British visa for some people or something. You know, they might the colonial masters may be a little bit petty and say, oh, that's all you want to do, you know?
Yeah, but we are independent. We are a Republican state.
Mm-hmm.
We are not owned by anybody.
Okay.
We are a Republican state with the right to have and own our own coat of arms, to name our streets after what we want to name, to remove from our space what we want. We are not just an independent country, you know, that still has the King of England as its head of state. Antigua is a republic.
I hear you. So in the future, when we are teaching our children about the history of the history of Trinidad and Tobago, what will we refer? What will we go back to? If these, well, you know, there are other things.
You tell them. Okay, so for example, when we are teaching our children now about the history of Africans in the society, or even the history of Indians in the society, where do we start? We start post enslavement. The first time you meet Africans is when they were brought here as enslaved people.
Mm.
When the first time you meet an Indians is when they were brought here as indented servants and Chinese. All of these people had history before they came here.
Mm.
So for us to really understand who we are and the different people that come here, we need to take our history back to before we came here. So that people understand who we are, the different worldviews. How did Africans see the world? How did Africans relate to nature and to themselves? And what were their cultures and practices and language before they came here? What was it for Indian people before they came here? What was it for our Chinese before they came here? What was the experience of our Syrian people before they came here? What was their experience before? And if we don't understand that, then we don't understand who we are. We were not shaped in this space. We were shaped as the beings of who we are before we came to this space. And in this space, a lot of us went through a lot of trauma, right? At least I know I can speak on behalf of the African race and our own history here. Trauma that of which is still manifesting itself to 196 years following emancipation. So I'm saying that we cannot be, if we want to do history, let us do our research. Our children need to know who we were before we were brought to this place, because we came from somewhere. They need to know who the indigenous and first peoples were before Europeans came and interrupted their natural process of development. And
all right, but what I'm saying to you is, some people, a lot of people are saying,
interruption with the Europeans become, yes, a part of that experience. The same way how we don't teach them about the Black Power Revolution. We don't teach them about Butler Riot.
We don't,
all of those things are part of our history. Yeah,
and I think that is a shame that we don't teach that our children in schools about the Black Power Revolution. I didn't know about that until late.
Exactly. So I'm saying this distorted perception that we have of history, that we are so defending and ensuring, oh, if we remove the ships, if we remove Columbus, we take it away our history. There is so much aspects of our history that some of us have actually lived that we still don't teach our children, and nobody's fighting for that. But they are fighting for when for some story, because a lot of it is not fact. Yes? A story that was told to us about this experience with when Christopher Columbus came to the Caribbean.
So I was told the wrong thing when he came, he saw the hills and a thing and a Trinity.
Yeah, Christopher Columbus never landed in Trinidad and Tobago. You understand? So that what I'm saying is that stories are made up, and we understand and people interpret and present history. Those who write it interpret and present it based on what they want you to know and how they want you to respond. Because remember, when we were being taught in school, people like Christopher Columbus and Walter Raleigh and so on were the heroes. The first people who they came and met were considered the aggressors. We sat as children and watched cowboys and Indians, and we were all on the side of the Americans and not the Indians. We thought the Indians were horrible, because that is how it was sold. But when you get older and you begin to really check real history and understand, then you understand what was taking place. That these were foreigners that came into somebody's space and tried to take control of their spaces and rob them of their spaces and want people to kill them to get it. Or to subdue them so that they can serve them. You see? But if you tell a story in a particular way to a people and you don't have an alternative story, and this is the same problem, the same challenge that the gentleman who was speaking yesterday, because he got up. Even after the interaction with me while I was speaking, he got up and spoke to the first people and literally called them savages.
He called the first people savages.
That's right. And he also made, when why would we want to rename a street after, he refused to call him by his African name, Kwame Ture. Why would we want to name a street after Stokely Carmichael, when the prime minister had said that he did not want, he banned him from coming to Trinidad and Tobago, and he went all over the world causing problems. Now his interpretation of the struggle and the fight by Stokely Carmichael for the liberation of African people in the United States of America, after they were being treated subhuman, you know, apartheid stuff, you can't go here, you can't do this, you can't, you know, all of the challenges. He did not see that. And see that we had to fight for these privileges, because nothing in his education has taught him that, because he did say that's what he learned in school. So if we continue to perpetuate an education that turn out persons like Mr. Ferreira, who does not understand the real history and believed everything that he was taught, then that gives us a perfect, and he presents a perfect example of the reason why significant changes need to be.
All right, let's take some calls on this, and then actually I want to ask you some other things about the Emancipation Support Committee, because I've been wanting to talk to somebody from the Emancipation Support Committee for the longest while. 625-2257. Any questions there? Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, Bisa, and good afternoon to our guests. Ma'am, I just want to thank you very, very much. And basically, I want to thank you for bringing the lady on the program. There's a lot of work to do with history, because it's kind of distorted for many. But what I want to ask...
Again, I'm having challenges hearing, sir.
So she's having a bit of a challenge hearing you.
Oh, gosh, based on the transfer, what kind of hookup you have here, man?
No, what's you on the phone, man?
That I'm thankful for your presence on the station here today and the information you're putting out. What I want to ask is whether or not the emancipation support, especially the history, African history, that impacted on a lot of our ancestors, whether or not we're advocating for a museum, or whether the emancipation support could even pursue that approach in relation to having a museum, so we could more or less remind people of our history and then put that history of abuse also on display to know where we were to where we are now. I really, really would want that to happen in the case of a museum from the emancipation support perspective regarding African history. Biff, thank you.
You have to repeat because I didn't hear his question.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know you're hearing, but you're not hearing it. This thingy. He just says he wants to have an African museum. He wants more to be done for African people. Yes?
And so do we, definitely. And we have written to the government requesting more than one space that we thought was available to do same, to actually establish an African museum. But the spaces that we've asked for, so far we've been told that they have plans for them, they looked unused. One of them eventually was used, and still we have another one that is still not yet being used that we are hoping. So we definitely do think we are 100% agreement with him that needs to be done, and it is on our agenda. We are just really hoping that we would be granted a space. You know, people need to understand that the Migrant Support Committee is a small non-government organization,
mm-hmm.
and therefore we do require certain kinds of support to make things happen.
But Miss, the Emancipation Support Committee has been getting a subvention from the government for the past how many years?
Let me correct you. The Emancipation Support Committee does not get a subvention
anymore. Anymore.
Hold on, sir. Mm-hmm. You made a statement. I'm correcting you.
Okay.
All of the years that this organization has existed, 30 plus years, we have never received a subvention. A subvention is an annual commitment, financial commitment to an organization.
Each year,
mm-hmm. we have the for the national festival,
right?
Write a proposal to the government, and based on their review of it and whatever is happening, we get a contribution to the money that we would have presented as the cost for the festival.
So when the government has said in the past years they're going to give an Emancipation Support Committee $1 million, that was a lie?
That I did not say that. You said that we get a sub.
Well, maybe I used the wrong word. You got a million. You got $1 million to put on a frolic in the savannah. You got $1 million to put on your emancipation celebration.
Yes. Do you know? Yes. Okay. We got this year. We did not get $1 million. We got $1.4 million.
Mm-hmm.
But do you know what the festival entails?
Well, I'm saying that the festival, Miss. Yes, the festival entails. But after all those years of getting $1 million, what is $1 million? $500,000? $600,000? $100,000? What does the Emancipation Committee has to show for getting all that money all these years?
Excuse, that's what I'm asking you again.
Mm-hmm.
Do you participate in any emancipation activities?
Do I participate in any?
Yes, are you aware?
I've been up to the Savannah, Miss, but I would like to see more for my people than a frolic up in the Savannah every emancipation.
Excuse me, now, hello.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. One, we do not have a frolic in the Savannah. And you see, these are the kinds of things that are...
Well, okay, a celebration of emancipation,
right,
up
exactly
in the... Okay, well, frolic celebration is the same thing.
You've invited me to an interview, and mm-hmm. then when you say things and I'm responding, you continue to speak.
Okay.
Right? So, if you would give me an opportunity to explain to you, the celebration of emancipation in Trinidad and Tobago is not a frolic in the Savannah Sea. The festival is launched on the 25th day. The festival involves a drum festival which brings together drumming groups and our young people playing their drums and explaining their drums, which is an extremely important part of the feeling. It's an important part of our culture. It's important to the development of our children and their minds learning to play the drum. And this happens every year. You have a Yoruba Village Drum Festival. That's the first major event of the festival. Then we have a lecture series that runs from the from June until the village opens in August. Every week, we do a lecture, a panel discussion. This year, we even had a film. From the years past, we've had films that are designed to bring education to our people. In addition to that, we do annual fashion show, which is designed to give our designers in the Trinidad and the country who focus on what you would call it, promoting designs with an Afro-African aesthetic, so that we continue to learn to love our the way that we dress and appreciate that, which is something that in days gone by, when you wore African clothes, you were accused of wearing costume. People try to make you feel embarrassed. Now our people are proud to present themselves in public dressed in African attire.
Miss,
you said we don't do anything.
So no. I'm saying that, Miss, what all that you are saying there is great.
The money that we get every year, yeah. What have we done? We don't.
What do you have to show for it? Okay, well,
so I am explaining to you what we do.
Well, it still sounds like a frolic to me.
Anybody else doing what we do, it would cost 10 times that. But people always have this negative attitude, and when it comes to things that concerns Africans.
No, miss, look, but listen to me, hear me.
Do you know how much it costs the government to have a 3-day agricultural exhibition in the savannah?
All right, miss, hear me out, miss.
Do you know how much money is invested in carnival?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Right,
I'm involved.
And people pay hundreds of dollars to go to each show, and I've never heard anybody talk about the money, all the money that they give to Pancho and Bago and to Tuco and to all of this for us to go and party in the savannah. I've never heard anybody say that.
Oh.
But $1 million, you are accusing us of doing an event of 19 events we did this year for our festival, 19 of them.
Mm-hmm.
And each of them are intended to do something that is positive for our African.
Okay, well, Miss, can I add some other positivities that I would like to see?
Right.
So I would like to...
Do you know what we are doing now? We are preparing for a national African history. I didn't even get to tell you all of the things that actually happened in the village. In the village, we provide an opportunity for 200 entrepreneurs in this country.
That is what I want to hear.
To have 6 days to earn money. Those entrepreneurs are trained by us every year.
Before
they get to the village.
Okay.
We do training workshops for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yes? They are there making money over that period of 6 days.
Over 6 days. 6 days.
Economic opportunity.
For six
and
days.
While that is happening, mm-hmm. we are also providing an opportunity for hundreds of our artists. How many people hire drummers and dancers? How many people hire these people during the year? So this is a special opportunity for them where we showcase the African art and culture of Trinidad and Tobago, and we support the artists who do it.
When you could have had a place where you could have seen that 365 days a year.
We teach our young people their culture. They learn how to do stage walking. They do theater arts. They use drumming. All of these things happen in the village, my brother.
So why this must only happen at a village at Emancipation Time? Excuse me, miss. Listen, now. Let's dialogue now.
You not know I was telling you about the village.
Oh, God.
We are preparing for a National African History Quiz for secondary schools, which we have been doing for the last 10 to 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
Every year, we have prepared booklets full of information about our African culture and history, and we provide it to the children in the secondary schools, and we have a national competition, which is aired on Trinidad and Tobago television, by the way, but nobody is aware because people don't pay attention. Then we do a national spoken word competition for primary schools. We have research all the calypsos with positive messages, and those children learn and recite them.
Does the Emancipation Support Committee have a home, miss?
Well,
can I ask you some questions about the works you're educating me?
Nice. But you're not asking questions. You're just being very critical.
No, I'm asking you. I'm asking you now, does the Emancipation Support Committee have a home?
We have an office.
Where is it?
We have an office from which we operate at 5 Bridge Road, Marabat. you also and the public also would like us to have land where we can construct our own building and so on, and it is also part of our agenda, and
right,
we are talking with the people who can provide us with land.
You want to be provided with land, they must give you land.
Excuse me?
No, you want to be when you say provided land, you want the government to give you a piece of land?
We would hope so.
Okay, miss, but what I'm saying is, miss, after when was the first
non-profit organization is?
Yes, but miss, what I am saying, miss,
no,
if I was a non-profit, but listen, I'm just looking at this as a business perspective, miss. If I were a non-profit organization,
but
you have to operate things as a business. That is the problem. That is the problem. And that is part of the problem with black people and the Emancipation Support Committee. That is the problem.
No, that's not the problem. The problem is you not understanding what a non-profit organization
So because you're a non-profit organization and you get money, you must use all the money to do whatever you have to do.
People, no, but you know, you don't say that about Pension Bago. You don't say that about Tuco. You don't say that about all the other organizations.
I am not talking about those organizations. I'm talking to you.
National events. And a government has a responsibility to support national festivals. It is created for that. It has the tourism. You have institutions that are created specifically for that purpose.
All right, Ms. Adonadon.
So that we are a non-profit organization and we have no desire to be a corporate business. That's not what we do.
No desire.
We provide services. That's what we do. We are a service organization.
Okay.
And you cannot tell us that what we should be. Another organization can set up itself as a corporate entity and make money and decide what it wants to do with it. We are a non-profit service organization that was created to serve, and that's what we
do. Has the Emancipation Support Committee ever provided any scholarships for any young black people?
I'm really very concerned, and I'm going to speak to Michelle about this because this was not the kind of interview that I was asked to do.
Well, I mean, I was.
We have a force that is calling me to ask us about a particular issue, and then use it as an opportunity to attack.
I've been wanted to talk to the Emancipation Committee for the longest while. I've been wanting to talk to somebody.
Attack. Your tone is an attacking tone. You are not even when I tell you things that you don't know, you're not expressing any.
But I'm trying to ask, miss, I'm trying to ask you some, miss, I'm trying to ask you some questions to understand.
I am very, very disappointed with this kind of attitude.
Miss, but I'm trying to ask you some questions to understand what the Emancipation Committee is doing.
That's not what I expect to be doing on a freedom.
But this is freedom. We are free to act, just like you're free.
About the upliftment of our people.
But I am, miss, I am talking about the upliftment of our people because I believe...
You are attacking the organization with all your misconceptions and perceptions and old talk and whatever.
Miss, but old talk, I am trying to understand.
Understand.
Well,
even when I tell you, you're not saying, oh, I did not know that. You're not saying,
but you
oh,
miss
okay,
because you're not telling me
you
any.
Also did that. You're not doing that.
Because the things you are telling me.
To ask me. Miss, that also represents another attack.
Miss, the things that you are telling me are not things that I would like to see the Emancipation Committee doing.
My brother, that is your view.
Okay, and exactly. And so I am expressing my view to you.
You have your view of what you think our organization should be doing.
I think
and
your organization should be more. Should be more established and substantial to African people in this country.
You are behaving as if what we are doing is nothing.
I am never said that, miss.
And that's the part that is very concerning.
No, I would just like to see more.
So what we are doing, what has been the impact of what it is we are doing? You understand? How is what we are doing helping? How has it helped?
How is what you are doing teaching your men how to play drums helping in this situation right now with crime and everything in this country?
Exactly. You see the question that you are asking is so
drums. I mean, drums is playing drums is great. Playing drums is great, but come on.
One of the reasons why we have our youth and our community behaving in the way that they are. Because one, they are disconnected from their culture. They have no grounding. Nothing in life matters to them. Their value for life has been strewn away from them. They have been infiltrated with this culture of violence, of power, That is what has happened, and that is what we have allowed to happen into society.
And I agree with you, miss. I agree
by
with you.
To me again, you see, you're not listening.
No, I agree
by
with you.
By negating the value of culture in shaping the lives and minds of our people. So we are going to continue to work with the young people that we have, that we work with, to continue to try to shape their minds and put meaning into their lives. So that when they get to be that age, they are not going to find it so easy to take up a gun and kill one another. And that is what we have to understand. How, what is your recommendation, my brother, as to how to deal with the criminal situation?
No.
Does what we are doing make no sense? What is your recommendation?
I never said what you're doing making any sense, miss. I'm just saying.
You said that. You said how we expect to be to train the people to play drum as if that has no. That's what you're
saying. So just for 6 days, and I would like the Emancipation Committee, miss, first of all.
Just for 6 days. Oh,
well, you I would like you to have a home to be doing this 365 days a year. That would make a difference.
365 days a year, my brother. I just told you that we are in the process now of.
You are in the process after so many years?
National African History Quiz for our children for school. Giving them the information, the education, the same
thing. Miss, the horse has left the stable. The horse has left the stable. You want to do it now? I mean, I thank you that you want to do it now in the process. But the horse has left the stable.
Now we have been doing this for years, but nobody pays attention to what people do. People always are there outside wondering what it is they're not doing. But did you know that we have a National African History Quiz that shows on television every year? You don't know that. And you don't care to know that. You understand? Do you know that we have a national spoken word for children this year? We had our little children speaking, learning poems, talking about the beauty of themselves and their blackness and understanding and appreciating who they are. We did that in the earlier part of this year. And then we're going to have the other part of the competition now. Right? And you cannot say, if it is you don't understand the role of culture in how in shaping the minds and of young people, then that is all of this is part of the challenges that we have. You understand? So our process is that we need to reconnect with ourselves and our culture, African people in the society, and who we are, get our back, our own worldview, get to understand that this power play and fighting for power and so on is not, that is not the African way. That what we are trying to do is to let us go back to who we are. And this has not only affected us who live here and who were brought here as enslaved. This whole new international culture, yes, of power and violence has permeated the whole space. It's only not where we are. And therefore, we have to come up with a way to fight against that, because that power is very powerful and very strong. That is why it has infiltrated Trinidad. Tobago, that has been able to keep itself sort of shielded from that, is now being infiltrated with that same energy and that same culture of violence and power, because we could have nothing else to hold on to. You understand? And it is happening from the top, and it is just being reflected in that violent way at the bottom. We need to have a better approach to understanding what is happening in our space, and therefore we would be able to appreciate other ways of addressing them. Yeah, from the police point of view, or even some of the government point of view, the approach is to get more guns and better guns, so that you have better guns will kill out. And that cannot be. That is not going to help.
We all have it wrong. I believe we all have it wrong, miss. We all have it wrong.
Well, that's your view, and you're free to have it, you know?
Yeah,
but we also, because of our years of experience and because of what we do, we believe that we have to find a way to continue to positively impact the lives of our people. And we do it as the best that we can as a small organization, a non-government organization. And this perception that people have that this $1 million is so much money and we get so much money, that only occurs in the case of the Emancipation Support Committee. You know? But that's okay. We have thrown a custom and we live with that, and that does not deflect us from our focus and from what we do. All our records, if it's one organization, you have never heard that the ministry or the government or anybody had any issues with our finances, because it is well recorded. Every cent that we are given, there's proof and evidence of exactly how it is spent on behalf of others.
Nice. Thank you very much, miss. Yeah?
So, please, you know, I really think that we should use this opportunity to get more information and to sort of dispel some of those negative.
Well, you gave us all the information that we needed
there. To an organization in the society.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Miss. I'm sorry if you felt attacked. My mission was not to attack you, but I've been really wanting to ask.
I did not accept your position, my brother. I was just saying that the attitude and the approach to me, and this is because I'm on the phone.
Maybe I'm very passionate.
Very
I am an aggressive person, Miss. And watch, I'm very passionate about the Emancipation Support Committee. I do believe, I hold the Emancipation Support Committee in very high esteem, and I believe they should be doing more. I believe more should be done. What you are doing is fine.
We believe that there's plenty more to be done, my brother.
Okay.
But we need resources.
You need resources.
We are not a business.
You're not a business.
To be a business.
Well, okay. Well, we need to have an Emancipation Support Business Committee. That is what we need.
Why somebody else could do that?
Well, okay. All right. Somebody else do that. Please, somebody else do that.
Somebody else can set up a business.
No problem.
You know, but we ourselves, we are service. We are activists and persons who work to provide.
I understand
service.
Your position, miss. I understand your position.
When you're doing a business, it means, you know what is the priority? Making money. Right. But that is not our priority.
That is
our
not
priority
your priority.
Helping our people to reconnect to themselves so that the society can be transformed and people can be empowered.
All right,
that's what we want to do. We don't want to be, we're not about making money.
You're not about making money.
Business, the bottom line is making the money.
All right.
And therefore, all of those little values eventually go out the door.
I hear you, miss. Thank you for
understand.
Thank you for making me understand everything what this Emancipation Support Committee is all about. Thank you.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.